Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Those of you hanging out with me, I want to just touch base a little bit to where we were last week and the last weeks leading up through our restoration series. So we spent 4 weeks looking at stories in the Bible of restoration, how God brought about redemption and new life for people who were really struggling in a dark place. And so in that, and we see that that reality is still available for us today as we would seek Him. And so I want to tell you about one more way to kind of put legs or boots on the ground of this restoration idea, and that is through a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery meets at our Harrisonburg campus every Monday night. There's a meal provided and large group where worship and diving into God's words happens. But this is an opportunity for anyone with a hurt, habit, or hang-up. You say, well, Pastor, that's pretty broad. That could be me. Yeah, that's the point. This is for you. This is for anyone seeking restoration and wholeness. This gives you a place to really dive deep where we can't go in 30 minutes in a week here. You have time and conversation and relationship through Celebrate Recovery and guidance in how to continue to live out and pursue restoration in the kingdom of God. If you have questions about this ministry specifically, please come find me after service or Pastor Terry. We would love to connect with you and get you connected to Celebrate Recovery as we pursue restoration together. I needed you to grab one of these on your way in. This is important for today. Does anybody need one of these? It's not a trap. They're free. You don't have to give them back. I've got five. I can give away four. And I'm throwing into the light, so forgive me. Who else needs one? Anyone? I am a little nervous about arming people with projectiles. Y'all good? Golf? Ooh. I would not do that. You'll notice they're soft. That's in case I take one to the forehead. I can recover quickly, hopefully. All right, so this little toy is to help us answer a question, or consider a question. Is your eye on the ball? How many of you are familiar with that saying? Keep your eye on the ball. So even if you're not a sports person, I am not, so don't laugh at my sports stories today. But I understand what it means to keep your eye on the ball. This is coming from pitching or even tennis, where you are trying to intensely focus on the ball in baseball before it even leaves the hands of the pitcher. And so when we say, hey, you need to keep your eye on the ball, this is about having intense focus. This is about being single-minded. Keep your eye on the ball. Now, a question about these things, and I really need you to consider this. Would you steal this from a child? No? Thank you. I had a fork in the road here in my notes. If people answer yes, go to prayer service immediately. But we can continue. Would you take it? I mean, that kind of sounds crazy, right? Why would we take this from a child? But this actually happens. You see, we can be so intensely focused on a ball that we would steal it from a child. Let's watch.
Sometimes you need that reset. Oh.
And Bader just unloads on this one. Deep left field, and that one is gone as Bader goes back to back with Brandon. What a long home run to left for Harrison Bader. It's his 15th of the year and his third since joining the Phillies. It's 5-1.
I'm not here to pass judgment on this situation or even say that I have all the evidence. There's millions of people online to debate those things. We don't need to join in today. What I do want us to realize in this clip, in this story, is that we can be too focused on the ball. That we can become so focused on the ball that we would forget about the people around us and what is happening and what our action is actually doing to them. We might be so focused on the ball that we lose sight of the bigger picture, and even more importantly, we would lose sight of the Lord. So can I ask you this morning, is there anything like that in your life? Is there a ball in your life that has captivated your heart and your mind and, yes, all of your attention? Jesus warns us about this, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters." You can't have your eye on two different balls at the same time. "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." You see, Jesus is warning us about being too intensely focused on the ball, on the treasures of this world, that we would lose sight of the greater picture. And the reality of His kingdom, His lordship in our life would fade because of our attention and devotion to a ball. Is there anything like that in your life today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge Your presence here with us today. Yes, in worship and reading of Your word. And God, we invite You to search our hearts, to let this passage be a mirror that we can consider our own life, our own focus, Lord. That maybe we have become consumed by a ball, whatever that may be, a career, a cruise, a car, a relationship, that it has become more important or bigger in our life than You. And so, Lord, would You show us, it's Your kindness that leads us to repentance. And so, Lord, we're listening and we're leaning in today and asking You to move. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we're beginning a four-part teaching series called All for One. Our goal throughout this series is to grow in our understanding and participation in the Lord's invitation to surrendered living. That's a mouthful. So our point in the next couple weeks is to grow in our understanding and participation in the Lord's invitation to a life of surrendered living. In church circles, sometimes you will hear this idea called lordship. Lordship. It is essentially the recognition of God's supreme authority in our life and everything in it. That's lordship. And if all that sounds confusing, that's what the next couple weeks are for. We're going to unpack that and see how it transcends into our day-to-day life. We begin today with the idea of stewardship. Stewardship. Stewardship is how we manage or what we do with what we've been given. How we manage those things, resources like our time, our talents, our treasures, our abilities, our finances, of course, and even our relational capacity to engage and love and serve others. From the very beginning, you see, we were created to be stewards, to be managers of God's stuff. And it's right there in the creation account. God has created the cosmos. Every beautiful and good and perfect thing has been set and spoken into existence by God. He's created Adam and Eve, as right soon to follow, both created in His image. God breathed life into Adam and he lives, and immediately He gives him a job. Hang with me. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. You see, God, in essence, makes Adam a steward, a manager, a co-laborer, a partner in this creation project. Adam gets to work with the Lord in caring and seeing His will happen on this planet. He gets to name the animals, and it kind of goes without saying, but Adam didn't create any of this. But he is called to be a part of it, to use it, to work it. He's created to be a steward of God's resources. And so are you. so are you. This is not just about how you spend your money, it's about how you live your whole life. How you handle everything that you've been given, because the reality is it all belongs to the Lord anyway. It's all His. And of course, as we get into the New Testament, Jesus has a lot to say about this. So we're going to focus in on one spot today in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the largest collections of Jesus' teaching bundled together that we have in the New Testament. He's teaching on what the life of Christ looks like and what it is to live through us, His kingdom, that His values would come not just out of our actions, but they would literally be within us. That's kind of the kingdom mindset of the Sermon on the Mount. And we find this teaching today in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. This is out of the New Living Translation. That's intentional this week, just the way they phrase it. But Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, it says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." And so as we begin to look at how we manage our lives, how we leverage our lives to see the kingdom of God come, we begin to see Jesus contrasting two different ways, two different investment strategies, if you will. Two different ways that we can invest our lives. We have the temporal nature of things in this world and the eternal reality of God's kingdom. That's your two choices. And he contrasts these. He begins with the temporal nature of things on earth, how everything in our world is fleeting and failing. I get a reminder of this every time I pop open my truck door. I don't drive it that often. And so it is deteriorating. And it is also being consumed. If you look at, this is the passenger side of my truck, and that is, yes, a mousetrap. If you jump in the truck with me, you better watch. I'm just saying. Like, that is a reminder to me that a possession just sitting there is actively deteriorating. The mice love wiring in GM vehicles. I don't know if you knew that. Free tip. They will eat everything out of a car. That's this passage. How many of you can right now in your mind, and maybe even your palate, think of a mothball? That smell that's almost a taste, you're like, ugh. What is that for? That is for things that are deteriorating. A diamond is forever. You ever heard that one? Till you lose it. How many diamonds are in the bottom of lakes right now? A bunch. You see, there's a contrast here. Jesus is trying to get us to see that so many of the things that we care about and are passionate about in this world and the possessions that we have, they're fleeting. We've got to do things to try to preserve them and protect them. And so he's saying, look, don't store up all your treasures in those things. They're disappearing as we speak, as we breathe, as we move, as we live. And he's contrasting that to the eternal reality of God's kingdom. So let me ask you a question, because this has to be practical or it's pointless, right? Let me ask you a question. What is the eternal thing in your life? Your soul. And the soul of every single person you meet. And so Jesus is contrasting the temporal fading things of this world to the eternal reality of his redemption story, that he is sweeping up all of creation and desires to bring in every single person to experience his eternal life and forgiveness and salvation through Christ Jesus. And so he's inviting us, well, not inviting us, he's commanding us that we would leverage our lives in that direction to those eternal realities. We wouldn't be so consumed, so focused on the ball of temporal things that we would miss leveraging God's resources for his kingdom. Two different investment strategies. And listen, the point of this is not that you can't have a savings account. It's not that you can't save for retirement. That's not what this is. Jesus is calling us to see that we cannot allow those things to take over our lives. We can't get so fixated on that ball that we lose sight of the bigger picture of the reality of God and his kingdom. What's your eye on today? Listen to how Jesus continues. He says, "Wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be." Wait a minute. That's not what it says. Verse 21, Jesus' words, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Does anyone else want to switch that order? Like, it would make more sense maybe that, well Lord, wherever my heart is, that makes sense that that's where my treasure is going to be. But Jesus says, no. Don't get it off. Don't get it twisted. Where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. So where you are actively investing and putting all of your attention and focus is going to draw your heart. This reminds me of watching folks, and I do it too, of walking a dog in the park. Anybody, any dog walkers, whether home, in the park? Yeah. This is hilarious because I have to wonder who's walking who. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We hook up Fido, and we take them out to the park, and what do? We follow this dog around. Wherever they want to sniff, we go. When they want to stop, we stop. When they want to go, we go. And it's like, wait a minute, who's the master here? But yet we follow them. And it doesn't matter whether it's a little dog or big dog. Wherever they go, we go. That's the picture Jesus is giving us. That whether your treasure is little or large in the world's eyes, it doesn't matter. Wherever it goes, it's going to take your heart. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to see. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's continue. He's gonna say this in another way. He's going to try to get us to see it from a different lens. He says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. A little historical work, we got to understand that the eye of the body, the lamp of the body, is an old saying from this time period in history. It was kind of like the portal, the window to the soul. And so what Jesus seems to be saying here is that essentially whatever we have our eye on, whatever our attention and our focus is, that is also filling and informing our heart and our life. It's the same thing he just said in a different way, that whatever our eye is on, if it is on the temporal or the dark things, it's going to bring that darkness inside. Whereas if it is filled on the eternal good light reality of Christ Jesus and his coming kingdom, that's also coming in. It's going to lead our hearts there. Where your eye is, that's what's filling your soul. And it becomes clearer the importance of this because he says no one can serve two masters. You cannot today look at that cross and that table at the same time. You can't. You cannot serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. This is another one of those verses in Jesus' teaching where we almost want to swap in a different word. This is a place you can be honest. Because we would rather that say, or we would think it should say, like, oh, there was a translation error here or something. It should say something like, you shouldn't serve God and money. Or we might wish it would say, it's really hard, but if you try and you pray and you're careful, you can do both. That's not a good idea. But Jesus is pretty straightforward. It can't be done. You can't ride the fence between God and money. It cannot be done. Because we can only focus one place. And what has our focus will inform our heart and our life. I would dare say it'll even cause us to do strange things like stealing a ball from a kid. Let's watch.
There are a few cardinal rules in baseball. Don't talk about a no-hitter when it's in progress. Don't disrespect the umpire. And maybe most importantly, if you catch a foul ball, give it to a kid. A man at a game in Florida last night broke that rule, and now we're hearing from the little girl who got aced out by someone twice her size. Here's ABC's Nick Watt.
Get that ball over there pronto.
It's an age-old tradition, kid, right? Tossing a ball to a kid between innings.
Well, the little girl gets boxed out.
Oh, my. Rewind. We need to see that again. Boxed out by a grown man. Look at that pout.
And look at the face.
Oh.
Now, tonight, it looked like you were going to get a ball until some rude guy put his hand in front and stole the baseball. Is that what happened?
Yes, that's what happened.
Similar situation at a recent Rangers game.
Lost the ball. Oh, my God. They can't give it to the kid? That's awful.
Posing with her prize while a three-year-old bawled inconsolably.
Wow, they're actually like rubbing it in the kid's face.
They later claimed they never saw the crying kid.
There's not a person that knows us that wouldn't agree that we would have given the ball to the child.
Back at the Brewers game, little Emily Martin wasn't giving up.
This little girl really wants a ball. She's doing everything she can do. Anybody, please, just a ball.
It pays off. She wound up with two.
Oh, nice going.
Thank you very much. I love you, Rob.
You know the phrase, easy as taking candy from a baby?
And look at the face. Oh.
I'm coining a new cliche, mean as grabbing a foul ball from a fourth grader. Nick Watt, ABC News, Los Angeles.
From the comfort of our chairs this morning, this is almost hard to believe, isn't it? Like, there's a part of us that wants to go, like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And here's the thing. I bet if you encountered these folks as they were walking out of the house that morning, and before they got in the car, you said, hey, do you think you would steal a ball from a kid? They would have looked at you like you looked at me when I asked you the same question. No. Like, who would do that? But can I be honest with you? Who would do that? I would. And you probably would too. Because that's what happens when you get fixated on the wrong things. Your life becomes one big grab to serve your kingdom instead of the Lord. We don't think about it. I mean, I loved how that couple said, there's not anyone that knows us that would think we would do such a thing. Right. They're right. But they got fixated on the wrong thing and they lost the bigger picture. It can happen to me and it can happen to you. That's the warning of this text. That's the warning. If I asked you to think about, like, does anybody want to get to the end of their life to find out that you spent your whole life living for yourself and what you wanted, like you were the person that took from others just to build your kingdom. Like, does anybody want that to be their epitaph? Can you imagine reading that obituary in the DNR? Here lies a person who took from everyone. Like, nobody wants that. And so if we don't want to end up there, we got to ask hard questions here. Is this true of my life? Where's my focus? What's my investment strategy for my life, for God's resources? And part of the challenge of this is that it's never our intent. That was the couple in the video, right? Well, we didn't know the kid was there. You probably didn't. It wasn't your intent to steal from a child. And that's what makes this really hard to recognize in our own life, because we don't set out going, I want to be the most selfish person anybody's ever met. It's never our intent. But yet it happens. It happens because our lives follow our focus. That's what Jesus is saying. And so our call today is that we would take a time out, that we would toss a crazy yellow foam ball, and we would ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Jesus, where is my focus today? Whose kingdom am I leveraging my life to build? That's the question. Lord, would you search us? Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to ask questions like that. Please come back. You're like, I ain't coming for that. But we're going to just, followers of Jesus, get into God's Word and ask His Holy Spirit to search us, so that we don't end up there. Because I don't want to waste my life on things that are temporal. Things I got to set mothballs and mousetraps in. You see, we want to see our whole lives gives glory to God. Like, that's the call of Christianity. Not that you show up on church on Sunday. I'm glad you're here. Please come again. We've covered that already. But it's way more than that. Jesus wants our everything. He wants our all. He wants our life and our allegiance and what our focus is on. And so that's what we're going to spend these next couple weeks on, is looking in the mirror going, is that true in my life? Jesus, have I surrendered everything to you? Because that's the call to discipleship. We're going to see that this lifestyle of lordship living, it's going to challenge us, because that is part of our witness, that people would see how you and I live with God's resources and see a reflection of how generous God is. That's a challenge. We're going to see the place of commitment, because, hey, this kind of life don't happen by accident. And we're also going to see that this takes sacrifice. And it's a life that goes often beyond comfortable and convenient. But that's the call of lordship living. And we're going to have that teaching series across all four of our campuses. If you're new or visiting, we're one church in multiple locations. Right now there's a congregation meeting in Harrisonburg in English at 9 and 10:30, just like we do here at 11:45. We have Esperanza Viva, our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, will meet. And we also have a campus, Spanish-speaking congregation in Waynesboro. So we're four campuses, one church in multiple locations. And across all of our locations, we are entering a season called All for One Vision Campaign. It is going to be an opportunity for us together to put lordship living into practice. The All for One Vision Campaign is a big day in the life of our church family, the launch that begins today. It's something I've been looking forward to for over 2 years now. This is the day we get to go public and get to share more openly about our vision, about how we believe the Lord is leading us and inviting us to partner with Him to see His kingdom come in the communities at which He's called us to serve. You say, well, Pastor, what does that look like? What does that mean? One of the primary ways we're going to do that is that we are going to enter a 3-year campaign to raise funds to do 3 very specific things. Those 3 things you're going to hear called planks. That's just a word we've been using to identify the 3 areas of focus. The first plank, the first thing, the first way we want to live this out is we want to give to others. And so the first area of giving out of this vision campaign is that we want to be generous in empowering and equipping local ministries with the finances that they need. And so mission outposts like Hope Distributed, which is at our Harrisonburg campus, organizations like Elkton Air United Services and other local ministries that are doing compassionate work in our communities, we want to support them. And we want to make that a priority, because this is not all about us. The second plank, the second area of focus for this campaign, the season of lordship living, will be purchasing and making improvements to this very facility here at East Rock. We've talked about this some off and on in the past as we've navigated different legs of this journey and conversations with Elkton Volunteer Fire Department. They've been an amazing partner. And we believe we're within here just a couple of weeks being able to close on this building and little over five acres of property here. That we get to continue to be a mission outpost, an outpost of God's kingdom here in this community. And the final area of focus is that we want to bring a renewal to capital improvements at our Harrisonburg location. That facility, you may not know, is over 25 years old now, and a lot of the systems, a lot of the interior finishes are original to the building. And so if you know buildings, you know that 25 years is starting to show its age. And so we want to be faithful. You see, there are a lot of people who've come before us as a part of the church family to sacrifice and see that vision happen. Today, sitting here, we stand on their shoulders. And so we want to do our part. This is our time that we would be faithful in upfitting and renovating that facility as well, so that future generations will have the same opportunity that we've had, to have a facility where people can come and hear about Jesus and receive hope and help. There's a lot more information to go. I know that's enough information to make you ask questions. I got it. There's going to be time for that. If you have a question you want to know, you got to know, just come talk to me after service. We're not trying to hide anything. But just to say, hey, this is coming. We're rolling this out. And there's one more important thing. Well, 2 more important things. We're doing this together. The vision of this campaign is bigger than what we could do ourselves. It's bigger than what any one of our 4 campuses could do on their own. And so we are going to do this together. So if you've been wondering why is the 75th anniversary thing so important, it's because you're going to get to see who all we're doing this with. You're going to get to see the whole church in one spot. So please come, shameless plug. The second important piece of this, you'll notice there's a little bit of a word play there. It says all for one. So we've talked about we're all four campuses coming together for one goal. Got that. But it doesn't say the number four, does it? It says all, F-O-R, all for one. And that is to be a reminder throughout this entire campaign that what this is for is not ultimately for buildings and all of those temporal things. It's for people. It is for people who don't yet know or have a relationship with Jesus. So that idea of all for one is to help us keep our eye on the right things, that our eye is on the ball of God's eternal kingdom and his redemption story. Last week, we took time to write down the names of people in our circles of influence that we were praying for, that we wanted to see experience restoration. And this is the stack of names you gave last week. I was blown away. You see, that idea comes from Luke 15. We see Jesus telling a story of a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to go and find one that is lost. And in that story, it says he searches until. You see, the pursuit of the Heavenly Father is until. And that's our heart too. That through this whole campaign, we would not lose focus on what's eternal and what's most important. So as the band makes their way forward and we prepare to close, I want to take another opportunity to do this again. And I want to apologize to you. If you were here last week and one of these names is yours, I offered in that moment, in both services, that if you wanted that name to remain confidential, that you would put the card down. And many of you did. There were face-down cards on both altars last week. And I just need to own up to a mistake that when I gathered that stuff up after each service, I did not pull out the confidential ones. And I'm sorry. And so I don't know what in here was confidential and what wasn't. And so I'm asking you today and to journey with me, one, to forgive me, and two, that we could do this again. Because these names, we're going to continue to pray for our ones, for people, our family, our friends, our circle of influence, classmates. We are going to continue to pray. That's going to be a focus of this campaign. And so I want tangible names to pray for, that we can do this week in and week out. And so I'm going to ask you that you would take that step of faith with me again. There are stations prepared and to both sides of the front, and there's two in the back. As the band leads us here in just a moment, I would invite you to get up and to write down on the white card the person's name who you know in your life needs restoration, needs to experience the saving, transforming life of Jesus. And that you would commit to pray. We're committing to pray together as the church family, and that you would commit to pray and see how God would see you be a part. If you don't want that name read, because I understand there are names in this list, there are prayer requests in here from last week that need to be confidential, that are held between you and the Lord. I want to honor that. And so if that's you today, on a card, would you in your own handwriting, in your own pen, would you just write unspoken and put that up here on the altar? So that way we have your hand, we can partner with you in prayer and just praying unspoken, trusting that God knows everyone. I would just invite you to do that. Would you stand with me this morning? There's pens and paper, and there are also these little white cards that have the All for One Vision campaign logo on it. Take one of those. They're two-sided, so begin one to pray for the campaign, how God would have you to be a part, because it's going to take all of us. And then on the back, you might write that person's name so that as you pray for a campaign, you pray for a person. As you pray for a person, you pray for the campaign. Just believing God's got great things in store in the days ahead. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for calling us out about where our focus is. Lord, that even we wouldn't mean to, it would never be something we plan to, but the reality of our human condition, of our minds and hearts, is that our heart will follow our focus. And if our focus is on temporal things, our heart's going to be there too. But God, you have called us to leverage our lives for eternal things, for the reality of your all-encompassing, healing, redemptive story that's playing out all around us. And so, God, if there is a ball in our life, a thing, a career, a relationship, a cruise, it's whatever that might be in our life, Lord, that has taken our attention, is consuming our life, and we're using your resources to support that rather than your kingdom, God, would you show us? It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Would you help us today to see that and realize that and to make changes, God, to where our eye is fixed. Lord, that is something we need you to do. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to search our hearts today and guide us. Give us the grace to make that change, to leverage our whole life for you and your kingdom. And God, as we prepare to move, we are reminded that the true eternal reality is the soul of every single person we meet. That you have good plans for them. You desire their salvation and restoration, Lord. And so today, as a step of faith and response and obedience, we want to write down a name to begin to pray, to leverage our focus for their salvation. So God, would you imprint those names in our minds and our hearts, Lord? And those that need to remain unspoken, God, that's no matter for you. You know them, and you know the heart of the person writing that name. And God, I pray that you would continue to call us to fervent prayer, to intercede on behalf of our loved ones and friends who need you. Lord, we love you today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band is going to lead us. I'd invite you now. We're going to close praying for the names that you write down. So if you want to do that, if you want to get somebody's name on the prayer list today, would you just come and write that down and place it on the altar, face up, and we'll pray together before we conclude.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.